Okay, so tonight's topic, the name of the topic, Rav Bomzer and I were going back and forth. Good to see you, Judah. I guess that's the trick, come at night. So the topic for tonight is there value in being great at sports? We wanted to take a vote first. We wanted to see how many people here think there's a value in being great at sports. How many people do not think there's a value in being great at sports? The numbers do not add up. Okay. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to start?
No, you go first.
Please.
Come on. Okay, who are the two guys? I'm just going to introduce myself. Do you want to stand? Sit. Okay. My name is Shiragi Bomzer. My man. You got to have that one guy in the crowd.
One guy? I'm Brother Herschel. I'm too competitive.
Our guys are learning.
Yeah, guys.
Okay, so this is for Herschel. I'm Rav Shiragi. The discussion, the topic, I think is very, very, very relevant to what's going on today. For those who are following what's been going on with the Major League Draft, big discussion right now about excellence in sports and athleticism, and it's something that I think is very important for us to talk about, especially because for most of us here, there's a huge dedication of time and energy and effort in being excellent on the court, in achieving excellence on the court. So this is a very important topic. Is there a value, and should I be investing so much energy, endless energy, into being great at sports? And I imagine, with a head nod if you don't mind, who here invests a lot into being good at sports? Okay, great. So if you invest a lot into being great at sports, it's probably a good question to have a good answer to, which is, what is the value? If there's a value, what is the value to being great at sports? However, I want to present the opposite. I want to present that there is not a Jewish Torah value in being great at sports. Now that seems to be a minority opinion over here. Who's my man over here? Who agreed with me? What's your name? Again? Avi and I are the only two in this room who feel that there's no value or limited value in being great at sports. So Avi, I'm going to try to present my side. If I don't do a great job, I'm going to need your help. Right. Stories like this. Historically, the Jewish people have not been known for their physical strength. That's not our name. Historically, we are known for something else, I believe. As the Pasuk says, when Yitzhak is trying to figure out who is this son that he's trying to feel around, trying to figure it out, he says the words, anyone know? Hakol kol Yaakov. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, and the hands are those of Esav. What was the difference? So the simple pshat is, the Medrash describes, I believe, that the voice of Yaakov, the sensitive voice, the voice that used Hashem's name, that is Yaakov. There's no way that that's Esav. And Esav was hairy. But the Mefarshim explained that it tells us the fundamental difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. And that is, where is our strength? Where does our strength come from? Does our strength come from our power, our physical strength? Or does our strength come from something else? There was a basketball player, I think his name was Jimmer Fredette. Yeah, is he a basketball player?
Yeah.
Suppose he was really good in China. Yeah? Okay. So Jimmer and I, Avi, did I tell you this story? Jimmer and I were once playing basketball in the Albany JCC. I grew up in Albany, New York. And we were playing basketball. Nate, did I tell you this one? And I had the greatest sports moment of my life. He wasn't playing professionally yet. He hurt his knees. And so he was taking time off before he ended up going to BYU, if I'm not mistaken. But he used to practice in the Albany JCC. We were playing 3-on-3. And I was taking Jimmer. which was a terrible idea for me. But there was one play that I'll never forget, and that is where I had a crossover and Jimmer was on the floor. He decided from that moment on that nobody else on his team was going to touch the ball, and he was just going to shoot threes in my face. For the rest of that game, he shot three-pointers from the half court. From half court. If anyone has seen him shoot, he shoots from way back. And he just embarrassed me in front of all my friends. I didn't have any friends there, luckily. But it was, on the one hand, it was a great moment. On the other hand, it was absolutely embarrassing. And I turned to a friend of mine and said, this guy is not Jewish. And in the end, it turned out he was not Jewish. Even though he was playing the Albany JCC. There's something profoundly not Jewish about presenting your greatness as your physical strength defines who you are. The Hashmonaim went to war around these mountains. That's where it was going down. They went to war against the Yevanim, against the Greeks, and also, and this is a little known fact, against the Jews who were acting like Greeks. They went to war. And in this war, there was a battle regarding what is our strength? Is it our physical strength or is it our spiritual strength? In fact, the Hellenized Jews were so Hellenized that they couldn't compete in the games, in the Olympic Games. So what did they do? They had a surgical process to put their bris milah back on, so that they could perform because the games were done naked. They had the discus throw. They probably had the spear throw. That was what they were highlighting, the physical beauty and physical strength. The Hashmonaim said, we are going to go and battle this. In fact, the Hashmonaim, you may have heard of them, were known as great warriors. What do they call them in Hebrew, the Hashmonaim? The Maccabim. You've heard that before? Which Israel actually created the Maccabiah Games in order to highlight that. So when the Maccabees were fighting, so there's this guy, Josephus. I don't know if you guys heard of him. He's a historian. He described that they were very, very strong. They were very strong. But we say in Alanisim, Giborim Biat Halashim, that God gave us the strong ones, the Greeks, in the hands of the weak ones. But we weren't so weak. We had the Maccabees. We weren't weak. But the answer is very simple. It's very straightforward. We don't fight with our strength. In fact, on a day of war, the Jewish soldiers would fast. They wouldn't eat. So that they could have tefillah, tshuvah stuck on their side. That's our strength. So greatness in sports, we have to be careful, I think. And I don't know if this is what Avi was thinking when he had this challenge. To be great in sports, you have to really figure out, where is it coming from? What's it about? Is it highlighting your physical prowess? Or maybe there's something even more important, that we highlight our spiritual strength instead of our physical strength.
Okay, so I understand why Rabbi Turetsky asked me to speak about this topic. You know, it made sense. You know, you try to put people in positions where, no, not this side of it. You try to put people in positions to speak about topics that they're aware of. And so he wanted me to speak about sports and how it affected maybe competition, how it affected me in life. But now it makes me think, why 2 years ago when we did Vices, you asked me to speak about weed? I'm trying to figure that one out now. Is that assumption on your part? But we're going to speak. I knew you thought I was thinking in a different direction. It's a funny thing. Because Jews in sports, we just think of it as being like, it's not something we do. You know, Jews are just usually the punchline. Jokes when it comes to sports. You know, we're always short. I mean, now actually we're the headline of sports these days. It's all over the news. Everybody's hearing about it. And I think that's why this is such an important topic to speak about. You're going to hear a lot of rebellion, you know, the elementary school rebbe. But do you think they're happy? Do you think they're happy? You're going to hear that schmooze. And you're going to hear the schmoozing about how they're missing out on real life. Right? We're going to hear all those schmoozing. Why? Because sports. What are sports? What's the value in sports? But actually, I want to just be careful. The question wasn't, what's the value of sports in our lives? It's actually being great at sports in life. I believe that anything you do, you should try to be great at. I think that anything, and I'll get to the sports part in a minute, but I'm a big believer. Listen, if you're going to, when you go to work, how many of you guys, by show of hands, want to just be okay fathers? Everybody here wants to be a great father. Every one of you guys wants to be great. At work, do you want to be an okay worker? This is a schmooze I give very often. But when it comes to Yiddishkeit, people are like, eh, it's not so bad. It's not the biggest deal. For some reason, people, in Yiddishkeit, unfortunately, sometimes people feel like they're willing to settle. But I believe that you should try to be great in everything. I think trying to be great at sports, listen, we're playing sports. We're here. We're doing it. It's part of our lives. Practically, if you weren't going to play sports, okay, if you're a guy who doesn't like sports, I will not tell you that it's a necessity. But I think there's a value in being great at sports. I think that sports is something that, well, I'll say it this way. How many of you guys think there's a value in being wealthy, in being really, really rich? A value in having a lot of money. A value in having a lot of money. What's the value in having a lot of money? What? So give money to tzedakah. Okay. But so that's a value of giving tzedakah. I don't know if that's the value is making a lot of money. Maybe that's the only way you could do it. But how many of you guys would say, though, there's a value in having a job? I think almost everybody would say there's a value in having a job. Why? Because you have a responsibility. Because you have a responsibility in your lives. Now, what can you do with it? You can do unbelievable things with it. You can do unbelievable things with it. You guys, one thing that I think is just very much lacking in this generation is the strive for greatness. The strive to be, just to put your all in. And to say, you know, there's stories, everybody's holding in Michael Jordan these days because of last year's The Last Dance, but you just see the way he had that drive for greatness. Greatness in sports can change you as a person. Now, yes, obviously nobody's going to tell you that the better you are at sports, you're going to get more schar in Olam Haba. Nobody's going to say, oh, you score 20 goals your junior year? That's extra schar for you. Nobody's going to say it. Nobody will ever tell you that. But it doesn't mean there's no value in it. Nobody's going to tell you that if you make $100 million in your lifetime, nobody's going to say, oh, you get more schar. Nobody's going to tell you you got more schar from making a lot of money. But you know what they're going to say to you? They're going to say that maybe there was some value in making money. You know why? Because you could do good things with it. Being great at sports, you're right, in it itself is not greatness. But what it can cause, what it can do to you. Being a leader, being great. I'll tell you for myself, I felt that sports in general in life, my life, helped me tremendously. It helped me in different places in leadership. It helps me in places where, you know, we had, it's not just me, but my team. We had, my senior year, we had 14 seniors in my senior class. 14 kids in my senior class. Nowadays, guys here have 100 guys in their senior class. JC, how many, what do you have, Heller? 40, wow, that's a big year for JC. There's that many people that live there? Gosh. Oh my goodness. 14 kids in my senior class. And we won a championship. And the reason why we won a championship, a hockey championship, was not because we were the most talented. It's because we were striving for greatness. And we saw what we can do. Greatness in sports is, it's just greatness in life. I always tell people that greatness or striving for greatness is not, Midos don't, my mother used to say this to me. You know, I'm one of those people, I always quote my mother. You know, I'm like, you know, you got to be old when you're quote. My mother used to always tell me, Midos don't split. Midos don't split. Meaning, you can't just be a nice guy here and not, either you're a nice person or you're not a nice person. Are you a sensitive person or you're not a sensitive person? It doesn't mean you won't mess up ever. But you're not like, you're not a Baal Midos around this person, but not a Baal Midos around that person. You can't just, my brother, he was making a decision where to send his kids to school. He's a pretty frum guy, my brother. And he decided, there was one school which was super frum, but their secular subjects weren't so great. They didn't really take him seriously. Then he had another school, which was, you know, the Judaic studies were very good, don't get me wrong, but they weren't the same level as the other school. But their English subjects, their secular subjects, were the same level. And it wasn't specific that he even valued the secular subjects for his kids. But he said, I don't want my son to learn how to just take things, just not take them seriously. Greatness in everything you do. In sports, you're not getting more scar for it. But being great at sports, it's an outlet. It's an outlet that we need. I think Rav Kook used to always say, don't passel anything until you find a better alternative. Don't passel things until you find a better alternative. We need breaks. We need breaks. We need to do other things other than just sitting and learning all day. We need to have other things we do. We can't just sit and learn all day. So we have to do other things. So why not be great at those things? Strive for greatness. Leadership qualities. Believing in yourself. Believing in your fellow friends. Knowing how to push yourselves. So I personally believe there's a lot of value. There's a lot of value in being great at sports. It's not for everybody. But those that can be great at sports. Some people will be great at other things. For some people, I'll tell you, the best thing will be to be great at Pokemon. And for some guys, it's going to be great at computer programming. But and those are just as valuable. So,
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, we have the following struggle. I have the following struggle. Can't speak for anybody else. We're supposed to fight this out. So I'm going to challenge your position. It's a problem because everything that Rav Herschel just said is absolutely true. I just have the following problem. Not everyone is as great an athlete as you.
Bear.
Besides for him. And I happen to know in this room a number of very talented athletes. But they know, every single guy in this room knows, that to truly be great would require not 20 minutes every other week in a gym in Ramot. It would require hours and hours and hours every single day. How did Michael Jordan become Michael Jordan? They always say that's like the famous schmooze, you know? Michael Jordan became Michael Jordan because 8 hours a day he was working on his jumper, on his left side, on his left hand. Right? Everybody's heard that schmooze. Everybody talks about it. That's why you have to dedicate that kind of time. To be great at anything requires real, total devotion. You can't be great at everything. It just doesn't work. So first of all, I'm kind of challenging you on this. Okay, you got to do everything you do well. But to be great, you'd have to really put in hours and hours of time, which would come at the cost of so many other valuable things. Thank you, Morgan.
I will respond. I will respond in the following. Every person, Shulchan Aruch says that every person has a chiyuv to learn, basically kol Torah kula. There's also a Mishnah that says, "Lo alecha hamelacha ligmor." Lo alecha hamelacha ligmor. It's not upon you to finish it. Which one is it? Are we supposed to finish Kol Torah Kula? Are we supposed to know Kol Torah Kula? Or are we supposed to say, "Listen, I can't learn everything. I have to just do what I can." And the answer is, I'm not telling you what you should put your time into. I'm not saying that you have a chiyuv to become great at it. I am saying, though, there is a value in the attempt and the strive for greatness. And yes, that may mean you have to put in a certain amount of hours, and you may say, you know what? In this specific area, it's not worth it for me because I have other obligations. I want to be a great father. Guess what? When I was in high school, I wanted to be great at hockey. Right now, I don't want to be great at hockey. Which probably can't be. But I don't want to be great at hockey now. Now I want to be great at being a father, at being a Ventura, at being great as a Rebbe. But yes. So the answer is that I can't put in that time right now. And it could be, every guy here will say, I don't have the time. But is there a value in it for a guy who says, I can put in the time? I have so much time. How many guys here spend more than 2 hours of time a day on other things, on devices? You don't need to raise your hands. Many guys, if not all the guys in this room, may spend at least 2 hours a day on devices. Those 2 hours, you can now say to yourself, you know what? There's actually a real value in trying to be great at the sport, as opposed to just sitting around and doing nothing. So, you know what? It could be. It could be that you'll make that decision, and it could be every guy here will make that decision. But I personally made the decision when I was in high school, because when I was in high school, I made the decision, no, I'm going to work really hard. And many of the guys say, I'm going to work really, really hard to be great at this. Gives a person confidence. Gives a person... I have a Talmud who this year, he was killing it in the stock market. It was crazy. I mean, everybody was killing the stock market this year. But it was unbelievable what he did. It was unbelievable. He didn't start off with a huge amount of money, and he had made like $30,000+. It was crazy what he had done. And him and I would speak about it all the time. I would speak to him about how I think it's taking up too much of his time. We had a schmooze, but a lot of schmoozing about the stocks. And one time I spoke to his father. His father called me, wanted to hear how his year is going. And the kid himself was working on not letting it be a distraction. You know, it was in the sense of just, you know, put my money in certain stocks and just let it go. As opposed to constantly be trading day on. It takes over your head. You can't concentrate on anything. You can't be focused on other things. And his father said to me something which I don't think he was right. But not because what he was saying was wrong, but I think he didn't know where his son was at. But he said, you know what, at first I told my son, why are you doing this? You don't need to do this. You don't need to do this. I want you to sit and learn in yeshiva this year. And then the father told me that at the end he said to me, he's like, but you know what, actually I think it's great for him. He finally feels great about himself. He's successful. He always was down about himself. And now he found something he can be great at. So for those guys, not everybody's here is going to be great at sports. And I'm not even saying that you have to be great at sports. But for those that can, there's a major... Yes, there's a value. Maybe you don't have a... Does anybody have any questions? Before we... Yeah, you could aim it towards... Yeah,
it's a question. It's not really... It's a question, but I'm kind of like... respectfully challenging something that you said.
Me?
At the beginning of the conversation, you said that sports and Judaism is not really what you think about, because Jews don't really represent as physical strength, and that's why you don't believe that sports should be something that Jews like are great at. But I don't think that is how we approach sports. Like, for me personally, I think striving to be great at sports, being great at something, you enjoy it more when you're great at it. So I play sports for enjoyment, and if I'm great at it, I enjoy it more. I'm not playing sports to like show off, oh, everyone look, I'm insane at it. Like, I'm not like showing off my physical strength. I'm being great at it for my personal pleasure, and if I'm great at something, I enjoy it more. So I don't think it's a physical strength type of thing, like the Romans or how you display it.
Great question. What's your name?
Dom Parnasser.
Great question, though. So I think there are two levels to what you're describing. First of all, we have to define our terms. It's always important to define our terms. Whenever there's a question, make sure we know what the meaning of the words are. What does it mean to be great?
I think that's a very vague term.
That's right. So we can't really answer this question until we have an answer to that.
I think we should define that term before this argument. Yes.
That's right.
So what does the word great mean? What does it mean to be great at sports? And I am going with the assumption, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm going with the assumption that great means significantly above average. Significantly above average. The kind of guy who could get drafted, the kind of person who's highlighted in Division I, somebody who is exceptional. That's the way I'm translating the word great. Now, if the translation of the word great is to be excellent, to be effective, to be solid, then I agree with everything you said. Do it well, and I agree with Rav Hirschl, absolutely. Do it well. Whatever you do, we do well. Whatever you do, you do it well. But greatness, when I think of the concept of greatness, that's something that's way beyond just being competitive on the court. That's the way I understood the question. So I guess we have to define our terms. Who understood when you saw this, when you decided to come to this room, and you saw this word great? Who understood that the word great means to be significantly above average?
Your colleagues, your friends.
Your friends. Nope. And anyone in Kolam. And who thought it means to be really solid?
First one. Who said the first one?
And who thinks the second one?
Numbers, I'm not good at, so good at math, but...
I think more than being like,
like 75th percentile? Like 99th percentile?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think another conversation that you had is, I don't know, something part of your debate is whether it's worthwhile to strive for greatness in sports, as opposed to, is it important to be great at sports, is it worthwhile to strive for greatness in sports?
Right, so that's how I'm understanding the question. Because to be
right,
great, and that's the way I'm translating it, to be great at anything requires extraordinary devotion.
So, but do you think it's worthwhile to strive for greatness in sports?
I think that's what the argument really was, to strive for the greatness, because you can never determine if you're going to be great.
So then you would agree with my point.
Absolutely.
So if that's the argument, then that makes sense, because just because you get to that point, you're still striving for greatness.
I'm not sure what you meant by that.
Just because I don't get to the point where I'm being drafted to the NHL, I'm still striving for greatness for my personal pleasure.
And what does greatness mean in that definition?
My definition?
Yeshiva League All-Star. That's what we call it. Yeshiva League All-Star.
So great. Perfect. But that is a description.
I don't know if there are All-Stars or not. I don't know if there are All-Stars.
But I thought we were just talking about
But I want to take this to so let's not talk about the NHL or the MLB. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about, is it worth it to strive to be the best in the Yeshiva League? If that's the question here. Is it worth it to strive to be the best?
100%.
And if the reason for that is not about ego, which you said it's not about ego, I find that hard to believe. The need to be exceptional above everybody else is not ego. That's all ego.
So you don't think there's a concept of competition?
Competition's fantastic, but that requires a certain parity in the skill level.
You're always trying to get better.
We certainly want the competition to be solid and we want it to be good. But if you're exceptional, then you're above competition.
If you're in competition, you're trying to get better and better. So you're saying...
He may admit there is some ego involved in it. But he's saying...
He didn't admit that.
There may be. Okay, I'll admit there's ego involved in it. But it doesn't mean you can't take the ego out and take out the good. Take the good from it.
I just understand you're saying that competition is good, but you can be the best. So how's competition? I don't understand that, because if competition is good, then you're competing against people to be better than them, and you're competing to be better. But
that's right. But
once you get to a certain point, it's not good.
That's a very important point. But keep in mind that almost every Yeshiva League sport.
He wants this.
So this is
your
guess. Almost every Yeshiva League sport that's condoned or highlighted by principals and mechanchim and teachers, etc., is a team sport. And so it's not about being personally exceptional. That's not the agenda, and that's almost certainly not the agenda from a Torah perspective, to be personally exceptional. But as a team sport, we want our team to be the best, and I think that was the description of senior year in DRS in 1982. math, pass that. So being exceptional, there are games that are about personal exceptionalism. There are such games. Those aren't the games that we're looking to play. And I don't think that it's upon a Jew to become the world class, the best, that's my job. There may be people in this room right now who are absolutely extraordinary all-star talent. They may be. And I think that's a challenge to be that person. To not let the ego take over. That's a challenge. To not let ego take over. To make sure that other people get playing time. To make sure that it's not just about you. For sure. So I think there's a danger in there. And there's something very not Jewish about that. That's my challenge.
I have a question for you. You said you agree that greatness is very high above average. So wouldn't that take up a lot of your day and then also take up time that you're learning? Because if you're trying to become greatest, you're going to be thinking about it most of the day.
Yep.
So you're going to take all your learning and then we're taking away from learning.
Yeah, 100%. I think that... I tried to answer that question while I was speaking, which is that obviously every person is going to choose what they want to put their time into. And yes, if a person wants to be great in learning and being a ben Torah, that's above all else. And I would agree with that. I'm talking to a person who's sitting in front of me, who's spending, like I said, spending time doing other things. And once you will be playing the sport, I believe, once you are taking the time out, I believe that there is a value for you, for the 400 people in here who are playing the sport, who have time, they need breaks. They need breaks to go for, even for personal greatness. I think that a person like Tiger Woods, he learned about himself while striving for that greatness. Yes! He was doing it probably because he wanted to win. What?
To win women.
Win woman, yes. But these people, these players that who play even individual sports, do I think there's gaiva involved in it? 100%. So you know what you have to do? You have to take out the gaiva. But strive for greatness because you can learn what greatness is and learn to be the best because you challenge yourself. Yet now, obviously... Yeah, sorry. So what I'm saying is to you is that, yes, is learning Torah more important, but I agree with Rabbi Bamzer that learning Torah is the most Jewish thing you could do, of course. But once a person is spending time at work, try to be the best at work. Try to be great at what you do. Try to be the great at what you do at work. What do you mean? That's not learning Torah. But once you're doing it, strive for greatness. So once you're playing sports, once you're doing it, strive for greatness in sports. I wouldn't tell the story of Chaim Kanievsky. I would not tell him to.
But as people as Rebbe.
Would you agree with me on that?
I agree.
Okay.
You're people who serve as Rebbe. And as a Rebbe, you're saying something that you know that they have free time. But you're saying that if they're striving for greatness, they're closing their opportunity to go learn that.
I've had Talmidim in Yeshiva. Yeah, I hear that. I've had Talmidim in Yeshiva that were sitting in the base mansion. I told them to get up and leave the base mansion and go play basketball. Because sometimes, there are times, no, not because I don't value Torah. Because I thought, I think I do. Because he needed to hear that. That's what he needed to do. He was too intense. He was getting, Rabbi Bamzer would tell, I'm sure he's either told Talmidim before, the same thing. Or he has, I don't think that question, because I think that people need breaks. People need time, you need breaks. And sometimes you start falling in love with learning. You fall in love with a girl. You could date her, but you may date her too long. And a person who's giving you good hadrach will tell you, take when you're getting ready for marriage. And a person will tell you, you know what, you need to spend a little bit less time with her. You need to spend, it's not healthy the amount of time you're spending with her. Sometimes in learning, it's not healthy the amount of time at a certain point in your life. When you're married, you're going to, you know, you can spend more time with her. And that is healthy. And each person in his own situation, I would agree. So yes, if you would ask me as your Rebbe, I want to learn, I have a good enough breaks, I did, you know, and I'm happy with that. So I'll say, okay, that's not something you value anymore. It's not something I value anymore to be great. It's something I'd value if I would be doing it. But for me, it's not something, being a great parent, being a great Rebbe, being a great friend. You know, those are things that I really, really value. But being great at those things. And I really believe that being great at any of those things is a real value. And, but for a guy who's playing sports, or a guy who needs sports, I think that striving for greatness, if you have that time and you have that desire, and you have that desire, some people do not have that desire. If you don't have that desire, you can't ever go. You can't ever. You won't understand it. You won't even know it. Some people just don't understand that strive for greatness in sports. And a person like that, I would say, don't go for that. There's some people that have that desire. Let me say one final word.
Yeah, just want to be very clear that, in absolute honesty, Avi, I'm sorry I get to do this to you. I think there is a value in being great at everything you do. Sorry, man. Definitely being great at sports, definitely being great at being a father, being a great Rebbe, great at hockey, great at breaking Jimmer for Dad's knees, whatever it is that you're great at, be really great at it. That's really my position. That being said, I think that, and I hope, that this conversation has opened up the idea that maybe we prioritize, especially when we're younger, based on what we think really matters in the world. And perhaps we put too much emphasis on things that aren't as important as we may think they are when we're in 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that so much of the energy that I put into things when I was in high school could have been devoted to things that would have been much further reaching, much more impactful in my life and in the life of my family and the people that I have an impact on. And I hope that this conversation has opened up that possibility, that maybe we should be dedicating ourselves to be greater people in all areas of our life, and also in sports, if that's something that speaks to you. But that being said, not to let it get to your head.
I'll say my final 30 seconds. First of all, I hope this did open up a conversation. I don't know a lot of you here. I've never met a lot of you. I hope this can open, and I'm sure of Amos feel the same way, this can open some discussion if you want to come over to us, discuss these topics. Obviously, we didn't... him and I were given positions. Rav Bamzer and I were given positions to take in this argument. There's subtlety in the discussion. There's a lot of subtlety, and there's a lot of... every person is going to be different. And just because I said there's value, it doesn't mean I think it's a value for you, or you, or you. Every person has to know if it's something that he should be valuing. And Rav Bamzer and I really, we've had this conversation before. We've discussed this. We've discussed the idea of competition before. And that's why we were also excited to have this conversation. And we really do agree on probably 95%, maybe even more, of the discussion. And we were given positions. But we would both love, if you guys are interested at any point the rest of the summer, to discuss, talk. We only touched upon anything. If you walked away, that this is the end of the discussion, it's not. And it was...
Just a quick vote. I think the question was, do you believe that there's a value? What was the question? Is there value in being great at sports? Who thinks the answer is yes? Is there value in being great at sports?
Man, in sports.
Who thinks the answer is no?
I see a pattern here.
So, I changed at least two perspectives, maybe.
Okay, guys, it was a pleasure. And have a great night.